Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow, I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow, I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading.
Hi there. Today, we're in a real fantasy land that few people ever get to see. Miniature tugs. Take a look at these huge pumpkins. These giant cookies. Once a year, these fabulous creatures and characters march through the streets of New York City in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But the rest of the year, they sleep here in a warehouse in New Jersey. Well, seems like things are pretty quiet around here today. Wow, I guess you never know when one of these guys will surprise you and come to life. And here's a story about an ordinary scrub brush that comes to life and has a few surprises of his own. It's called Brush.
Brush by Per Calders. Illustrated by Carme Solé Vendrell. Translated by Marguerite Feitlowitz. Read by Hector Elizondo. The day that Turco, a little pistol of a pup, ate Señor Sala's hat, Señora Sala decided that enough was enough and that it would take the patience of a saint to put up with this mischief any longer. So she got the whole family together and asked each member his opinion of the situation.
No.
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 Go.
It was decided that the gardener's married daughter would take Turco and keep him in her house. Little Sala was so sad, he thought he'd die. To him, it seemed there was no way to go on living without his little pup. After he stopped crying, however, he realized he had to fill the emptiness left by Turco's absence. First, he tried to imagine his aunt's canary as a companion, but he immediately knew they could never be close friends. Then he imagined that the floor lamp in the library was a faithful soldier. For nearly 2 hours, he thought he had solved his problem, but soon it was clear that he still longed for his beloved Turco. He needed to find something that could take the dog's place, yet not destroy his memory. He went through the house, and finally, in a corner of the attic, he found a very big brush, banished forever from the family broom closet. He closed his eyes and passed his hand over its bristles. He had the definite impression he was petting a dog. In fact, this first encounter felt so good that little Sala decided not to search any further. He tied the brush to some string, and in less than 5 minutes, was no longer even aware he was dragging a brush behind him. Rather, he believed Brush was a dog of rare pedigree who was following him all over the house. Before getting into bed, he tied Brush to a chair. But no sooner had he tied it up when he was overcome by a wave of tenderness. The idea that Brush would spend the night tied up sleeping on the cold floor made him feel bad. So he jumped down, untied Brush, and took it into bed with him. Soon, little Sala noticed that the Brush was snuggling up against him for a hug. This naturally was very serious, because it's one thing to pretend to change Brush into a dog, but it's another thing if the change really happens. Little Sala was astonished to see that the Brush, though it still looked exactly like a Brush, was moving around like a dog. It turned a few somersaults and then showed its stomach to be scratched. Little Sala couldn't sleep all night, and as soon as he heard his mother up and about, he went downstairs with Brush under his arms. "Look, Mama, I found a Brush that is really a dog. It moves, knows my voice, and has fleas." Without interrupting her chores, his mother looked at him and said, "Don't be silly and get rid of that piece of junk. You're old enough to be a little more sensible." He was hurt. He said nothing more, brought Brush to his room, and thought that if they didn't want to believe him, it didn't matter. They'd be the losers. At dinner, his mother jokingly told about little Sala's discovery, and his father laughed as though it were the craziest thing in the world. Little Sala didn't say anything because he knew that ultimately justice prevails. Sooner or later, he knew his family would realize that some things aren't what they seem and shouldn't be laughed at. The next night, he was awakened by Brush's howling. He heard the sounds of a struggle coming from the library and his father calling for help.
Oh, help!
Little Sala opened the door, tiptoed down the stairs, and saw his father fighting with a burglar who was stronger than he was and who was about to hit him on the head with a fire iron.
"Get him, Brush! Fight him!" he cried.
Brush ran like the wind and hurled himself at the burglar and bit him on the leg. The burglar was so surprised by the ferociousness of such a thing that he immediately gave up and was handed over to the police. A little later, his mother, with tears in her eyes, promised she would never again doubt her son's word. And his father, passing his hand over Brush's bristles, said, "We'll make a house for you in the garden with all the latest conveniences. And above the door, we'll have painted, 'We're not sure that it's alive, but it deserves to be.'"
After reading Brush, you begin to believe that almost anything is possible. And what better place to test the limits of reality than right here in this warehouse? Whoa! Now, I know I didn't imagine this. But you know, when I was a kid, I used to go out on the playground at recess, and I'd look up at the sky, and I'd imagine that the clouds were people and animals, and that they were my friends. Have you ever imagined something coming to life?
A dinosaur.
God would like to bring a book to life.
I imagine that my puppets would come to life and play with me like Pinocchio did.
I would like to bring my computer to life because I'd like to just go into him and be a character in him.
Comic book characters, including Spider-Man, Punisher, Daredevil, Batman. I could go on and on, really.
I think I'd make Brushes come alive. Because I can't do my hair very well, and I mean, I need someone to do it, and the brushes is a perfect thing.
Imagining something coming to life and actually making it happen are two very different things. Take a look at this giant gobbler here. He's the star of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. His eyes blink, his wings flap, and he nods his head to the crowd. But it's not easy to get all this action going. Let's go take a look at how this turkey struts his stuff. Actually, there are six people back here where you would expect the giant giblets to be. And when Michael pulls on this sandbag, the wing flaps. And when everyone works together, this turkey really gets cooking. Thanks, guys. Inspiration and hard work can make almost anything seem real. From a gigantic bird like this, to tiny creatures like these.
So, Rob, what do you think about this dinosaur with the long bone on its head?
I really like using the Lambriosaurus because it's a dinosaur I don't think I've seen used before in animation.
What if we made this into a girl dinosaur?
I think that's a great idea, Beck.
Oh, thanks. I think we're getting there.
Hi, I'm Rob Naiosi, and this is my partner, Becky Weibel.
Hi.
We're animators. We bring drawings and 3D objects to life on film. And every animation starts out as an idea. Right now, Becky's working on a character for our next animation.
As you can see, we're not just trying to figure this out on our own. We've got some books here that we're looking at to help us get ideas. For example, this book has a lot of different dinosaur heads in it. There's all different shapes of bones and horns and eyes and noses. And this book has a lot of different dinosaur bodies. And that helps make what we're doing look a lot better and a lot more interesting. Once we've figured out our characters, we put it all together into what we call a storyboard. As you can see, this is a series of little drawings, and they're in sequence so that we start at the beginning, and here we figured out what's going to happen in the middle of the animation, and here's where we end up. So it's kind of like a map that tells us how we're going to do this.
I think that's a good description of it. You know, storyboards are two-dimensional drawings. If we were to animate these, they'd be like the cartoons you see on TV. But Becky and I, we specialize in a different type of animation. It's a 3D animation. One type of 3D animation is called pixelation. That's where you take an ordinary object, such as this cup, that on its own has no movement. But using motion picture technique, we're able to bring it to life. Watch this. This is Egbert. Egbert's a three-dimensional model of a frog. And he's made up of various materials, mostly different types of clay. The top part of his body is made out of a soft clay that can be manipulated and molded frame by frame in order to create the illusion of animation on film. His legs are made of a clay also, but it's a different type of clay. It's baked and it's hard. And that way we can hinge his knees with little tiny hinges. And when we rotate his unicycle wheel, the hinges operate and give us a nice motion in his legs and his knees. Now, his eyes are made out of just common beads. The animator may want to take a little toothpick and put it in the hole in the bead and move it around. Now, if we want to make Egbert wave for each frame of film, we may bend the clay just a little bit, and then a little bit more and take another frame. And a little further and we take another frame of film. It's a long, tedious process, but the final result will be Egbert waving just the way you and I would wave. Okay, gang, let's do it. Let's bring this frog to life. Okay, Becky, you're gonna... When we finally get to shooting the final animation, we have several different elements that'll be moving. The background set, the character, and the cloud. The camera will be operated by another person as well.
Shooting animation is actually a very slow and tedious process that has to be done very carefully, one frame at a time. It takes about 4 or 5 hours to shoot just 20 or 30 seconds of animation.
If our work time was speeded up to animation time, here's what we'd look like.
way to really give a character some personality is to paint it with some special colors and add some details. And some of the details we've added to our dinosaur are things like eyelashes, you can see right here. Because after all, we said we wanted to make a girl dinosaur. And we also made a special shaped mouth, so it looks kind of friendly and a little feminine. The dinosaur needs a body, too. And we're going to make this a sort of strange and interesting dinosaur in that its body will be a book. What'll happen is a leg will grow out of the corner of it. But it won't just appear finished like this. We're going to start with a little bit of squishy clay, add more and more on, a little bit at a time, until we formed it into the leg. This process of making things grow and change is called metamorphosis. You can only see it happening on film because we actually do it under the camera. So what do you think, Rob?
It looks terrific, especially the head. I think we're just about ready to meet Myrtle, the Bookosaurus.
Good tales, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hello, my name is Lena K. Zuckerweis. I am here to report to you about a book full of mysteries and surprises. It's called What the Mailman Brought. This is a strange, unusual story. It's about a little boy that is sick. Every day, the mailman brings him a package. What's very interesting and extraordinary about the mailman is that every day, he's a different animal. You'll be amazed at the different characters that show up at the boy's door. If you're getting bored with life, go check your mail or read What the Mailman Brought. It'll perk you right up.
How would you like a board game at home whose characters come to life? Picture this. Rhinoceros is stampeding your living room, an 8-foot python wrapped around your fireplace. Why not try Jumanji? The story is about two kids whose mother and father go to the opera. They stay home and are bored to death, but they find a way to brighten up their gray sky. A mysterious game named Jumanji. Some incredible supernatural things begin to happen. Take it from me, Kenny Michael Benbow Blank. This book is unpredictable. It's filled with unexpected surprises. So read Jumanji. I promise you, you won't be among the bored and restless.
What do you like to do on rainy days? I like to play with my computer, but when I can't, I find neat stuff to do in this book called Egg Carton Zoo. This is a book that shows you how to make all kinds of creatures using stuff you have around the house, like an ordinary egg carton, scissors, and markers. I made a whale. There's lots of other things you can make, like a butterfly, a frog, and even a zebra. See what funny characters you can make using a plain old egg carton. Make a zoo of your own. This is Harry Barrandes signing off and asking you to get this book.
Behind this door and down the hall is the secret for bringing to life one of the most spectacular sights in the Macy's parade, the giant balloon. So, Manny, where are those great balloons?
Okay, the balloons are not here, but this is where the ideas come right off the paper.
Aha. This is Manfred Bass, the designer of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. This is the guy responsible for creating all of those great floats and balloons that we see every year on TV. So, Manny, what are you doing right here?
Okay, this is a float design for this year. Over here, you can see the dreamland structures in this area here, and you can see the moon here watching this little boat go through the sky.
So all of your creations, whether they be balloons or floats, they all start right here with sketch on this table.
Yeah.
So you have some other sketches of maybe balloons? Ah, here's one.
Yeah, here we go.
It says Snoopy Balloon. Yeah, I know this guy. This is Snoopy.
Okay, this depicts Snoopy the morning of the parade, coming down the parade route. We take this sketch and we create a clay model. Mm. And from that clay model, we create the balloon.
Can we see him make a model?
Let's go.
All right.
We take the clay and we mold the entire balloon the way we want to see it. And we just, it's a very flexible media. So you can see we can really have fun and get the shape and the size that we need.
So when this model is finished, this will look just like Snoopy.
Yeah.
Do you have any finished clay models around here?
We have a beautiful bunny right behind us here. This is one that we've just finished, and you can see it has nice lift. We have a nice large hat. We have good size ears,
right.
A full drum. That'll give us a lot of lift. And you can see the feet are full of motion.
Sure.
So that this bunny is just going to march down the parade route the morning of the parade.
He almost looks alive, this
Doesn't
bunny.
He? Yeah, that's great.
So once you have your clay model finished, what do you do next?
Okay, the clay is very fragile, so what we do now, we make a mold over that clay model. Huh. So we have one right over here, and you can see this is a mold. And into this mold, we cast a hard model. And you can see inside, this is always an exciting moment when we open up. And this mold here gives us a nice hard model.
So you'd use the clay model to make a mold, and the mold to make a hard model.
Right.
And what do you use the hard model for?
Okay, now we'll just go right over here and take a look at that hard model. Now, we just mark each piece of fabric on the hard model, and this is the way the cutters will cut all the fabric to create this balloon.
So you use the hard model to figure out exactly where all of the fabric will be pieced together in the balloon itself.
And you can see we're going to use yards and yards and yards and yards and yards and yards of this fabric.
This is the material that you actually construct the balloon out of, huh? So once the balloon is all cut and sewn together, What happens next?
Now for the best part, the inflation.
The inflation.
Yeah, that is just unbelievable.
Think what it takes to inflate all the balloons for the parade. But every November, each of them is filled with air, and what a parade it is.
And when the parade is over, the balloons are deflated, the floats are packed up, and everything goes to this amazing warehouse here. You don't know what you'll discover next out here. This is LeVar Burton signing off.
Wait a minute, hold it. What is going on here?
Do you mind? I'm trying to do my TV show here.
Your TV show?
Right. Oh, you must be one of those book review kids. We're done with that part. But if you leave your name and...
What is going on here?
Just signing off. Well, that's about it for reading
Rainbow
today.
All right, hold it. Let's just take it back a second, okay? You, don't go anywhere. I was just about to tell you that a puppeteer can also bring things to life, especially an exceptional one like Kevin Clash here. Kevin... Get up here.
Gotcha.
How you doing?
Okay.
Kevin, you're really good at this.
Thank you.
In fact, maybe a little too good.
Well, does this puppet resemble somebody that you know?
I don't know. I can't quite place the face. Did you make him?
Yes, I did. Actually, he's made out of a type of foam that I carved to get the features and everything.
Uh-huh.
And then I cover it with this type of fleece that I actually dye to a specific color, like your color and everything.
Uh-huh. And the hair?
The hair is out of the same type of fleece, but it's not cut down like I do with the fleece on the face.
He's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Listen, you'd like to try it on?
Can I?
Sure. Okay, four fingers up the top of the mouth and the thumb down the bottom of the mouth. And if you could, just turn the head like left and right. Okay? Just straight plane. Okay?
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of movement in there. Yeah.
And have him focus right onto you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, open his mouth. Just say hello.
Hello.
Good. Look at that. Okay. An arm wire.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And just, you know, just gesture with it back and forth, you know. Maybe bring it up to the face.
Hmm.
Maybe let it yawn. Do a yawn.
Mm.
Good.
Well, you know, I interview a lot of people on Reading Rainbow. And now I guess this is a perfect opportunity for me to interview myself. Now, tell me, do you really think you could be the host of Reading Rainbow? No problem. Nothing to it. But you don't have to take my word for it. Well, easy for you to say. Is there anything else you'd like to do on TV? Yeah, sing. Sing. Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a... All right, that's enough. That's enough. Kevin, this is really weird. Listen, thanks for stopping by with your friend, but you know, we're just about out of time. And remember, a book can always bring something to life. I'll see you next time. How did you do that?
Was it me?
It wasn't you.
It, me?
It wasn't me either. Amazing. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Brush by Per Calders, illustrated by Carme Soleil Vendrell, translated by Marguerite Feitlowitz, published by Kane Miller Publishers. What the Mailman Brought by Carolyn Craven, illustrated by Tommy DePaola, published by G.P. Putnam's Sons. Jumanji by Chris Van Allsburg, published by Houghton Mifflin Company. Egg Carton Zoo by Rudy Haas and Hans Blum, with an introduction by David Suzuki, published by Oxford University Press.